of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yeah, you know it's a Thursday here. It's November, Jeffy. Happy November to you. Halloween was crazy. Plum Love Foods
November.
Live. Dude, Plum Love Foods is live right now on a Thursday. Hope you guys are doing well out there. Hope everything is going well. Hope your week is off to a great start. Jeffy, how's your week?
Week's doing fantastic. Things are going good. Deepened some home improvements. Cleaned up all the Halloween nonsense.
Halloween nonsense? Like what? You had like trick-or-treating and stuff?
We decorate like, you know, good neighbors. We like to scare people with
done. I appreciate
little
that.
Little things hanging from trees and like, you know, little witches that glow and stir pots and all that kind
now,
of
did
stuff.
You dress up too, Jeffy, or no?
Yeah, I did. I had to work. I wore a sloth costume with a chef coat over it.
That sounds amazing. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, well, it's my spirit animal. And then I had to work, so...
Well, that tends to happen. Work in our industry on holidays, right? That's the way it goes. I got to hang out with my kids, and it was fun. But more importantly, I feel like we're cleansing the palate here, man. You know, like we had a crazy month of October. I think it was a success. It was crazy. We had a lot of fun things happen. We had a lot of scary shit on, man. I don't want to get back into it, but dude, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, man, it was definitely off the beaten path, and I enjoyed it, but I am also happy that it's over.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do that again. I was kind of living in a freaked-out world for a little while. Were you?
A little bit, and, I mean, honestly, it's like, I can barely handle, what's her face?
Who? Listen to
I can barely
old man Mark stories.
No, old man Mark. That's what I'm saying. I can barely handle our regular. I can barely handle Patty and the shit she does. And then like we have Mark on and the rest of these guys, and it's just like, whoa, what is going on, David? Wow. With the freaking the cryptology and cryptozoology and
it was
then we
fun,
had Tony
man.
On at the end of the month with the super creep factor.
Dude, I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was kind of a nice twist of fate here on the program. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. We are chefs. This is a food program. And that means that starting right now, we're bringing back the food, Jeffy. That's what we're doing. We're bringing back the food. You good with that? I guess you're good with that. Are you good with that, Jeffy? We're going to wait.
I'm amazing with that. Did you hear that? Oh, no, I tried to sneak in a soundboard, but it didn't play.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it.
I hit a thing, and it was like, hit it, but it didn't work. It just went in my headphones, because I have it going through my headphones, because I'm an idiot. I don't know how to work this stuff. I was trying to be crafty.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well, Jeffy.
No, instead I got crickets.
Well, it's going to be fun tonight. We're going to do a little talk and shop roundtable, just to kind of bring it all back, and then we come back this week. I'm sorry, not this week. Next week, we're going to start bringing back some chefs, some culinary guests, getting back into the groove, especially with the holidays coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Doing this program is a lot of fun. We thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe there on the iTunes. It means a lot to us. It does a lot for us. We got a lot of big things coming down the pipe we're very, very excited about. And for me, Jeffy, actually, when a lot of people will start listening to this program on downloads tomorrow morning, I will be in the car flying to Texas, Jeffy. That's what I'm doing.
I know. I'm a little jealous. I would have liked to have gone if I could have snuck away from work here to help you out.
Totally.
Just because you know how I like to lay with you in strange hotels when you're scared. I like to hold you.
That doesn't make us weird. That's just good brothers.
No, that's exactly what it is. That's what I'm saying. I'm just here for, you know, scratch your back or
sure.
You know, rub your feet, or, you know, whatever you need when you're out on the road.
Well, I'm going out there with our good friend, Chef Michelle, for Barbecue Bands and Brew Bash.
Does she rub your feet? Does she do that?
No, she doesn't do any of that stuff. But we're heading out there.
Hands off my Kool-Aid, Michelle, if you're listening. Back up.
There you go. For the Bridges Training Foundation, I leave tomorrow morning. We're going to be hanging out with some really cool kids, judging some cupcakes, eating some barbecue. It's going to be really, really fun. We're all raising funds for special needs.
It's amazing.
Kids, it's going to be fun. There's also goat yoga.
Hold on.
Goat yoga.
Goat yoga?
Yeah. Like, goat yoga.
Are you like goat themed positions, or do you do yoga with a goat?
No, dude. The instructor is celebrity goat. Barry. He's the celebrity goat yoga instructor. It's a lot of
celebrity goat yoga instructor.
Yeah.
Farmer Ted.
No, his name is a goat named Barry. Sorry, I did
everyone,
it twice.
Everyone tries to mimic the goat.
No, but so we're heading out there. Michelle and I are flying out in the morning, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We got a project we're doing Friday morning, and then we're gonna be doing the stuff with the Bridges Training Foundation. It's really fun to be able to go do things like this and have some of the successes I've had be able to make some of these kids happy. And I mean, listen, man, what's better than helping kids?
It's awesome. And I mean, and how awesome is it that you get to travel down to Texas and like meet new people and meet new chefs and like, you know, spread the gospel of love and good food.
I'm really excited about it.
With good sister Michelle. I mean, it's awesome.
You know, maybe if I was smart, I would take a recorder with me and record some audio.
You definitely should. Are there any other chefs going to be there with you guys, or just going to be you and Michelle, or is there other local chefs and stuff like that?
I think it's a lot of local chefs. Apparently, there's a shit ton of people in this. There's the first ever barbecue state championship going on down there that we get to be a part of as well.
What?
And there's going to be
in Texas the state championship barbecue.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, right?
Dude,
and it's a
these
ton
are all the
of
things
involved.
You leave out. You don't say, "Hey Jeff, you want to do goat yoga and eat great barbecue in Texas?"
Yeah,
you're like, "Oh man, can you sneak away?" You left out all the other the fluff.
Oh, did I not maybe bring that led, part up?
Well, maybe if you led with the fluff, I could have been. Oh. It would have made me feel worse, and then I could have pushed harder.
Sorry about that, Jeffy. Next time. I got a feeling that this will be a we'll get asked back because I'm going to go and, you know, I love stuff like this, so I'm hoping they'll bring us back is what I'm hoping. And then you can come then.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping for. And I guess as well, there is Top Chef Junior Kinsey Mill. I'm not familiar, but I'll meet this person too. It should be fun.
That's awesome. Wow. She won Top Chef Juniors?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, Top Chef Juniors.
That's pretty amazing. So I watched that show a bunch, and those kids are super impressive.
Are they?
Oh, it'll blow your mind, Plum, to see like a 12-year-old nail some of the food that they're nailing. It's like, I mean, they're kids, so like they definitely, you know, it's still super impressive. Like the stuff that they're pulling off is like it really. You should give it a watch if you haven't.
Right, yeah, I'll check it out for sure. I got a 4-hour plane ride tomorrow, so I'll check it out. You know, it's interesting. My daughter starts her home ec class tomorrow. Well, we call it a home ec. They call it something else now, but in school tomorrow she starts her home ec class and
life skills or something.
Yeah. She's like. I was like, dude, so I'm going to give you a knife roll to take to school and like an apron and a knife roll and you just set your mise en place up. And she's like, I don't know what this teacher's going to tell me. Like, she goes, I don't know if she realizes who my dad is. And I was like, whoa, easy killer. Easy. That's kind of a jerk thing to say. But you're right.
Listen, you're not wrong.
No.
But you can't say that in school.
Mm-mm. So it should be pretty fun to see.
You don't want to hurt the lames.
Yeah, they're going to be talking about all kinds of shit. Meanwhile, my daughter's over there fucking tourneying potatoes and cutting batonettes perfectly off of carrots.
I'm already proud.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. But yeah, so this event in Texas, I'm looking forward to it, man. We're going to be out there. I'll do some Instagram. You'll see it all over the place. Should be a lot of fun, man. Tonight, though, it's going to be a lot of fun. Jeffy and I are going to talk about some things. We got some Instagram questions to address, which is fun. I put that out on Instagram earlier today, and we got a lot of people send some questions in. So that's always fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love connecting with the people.
With the people. We are the people, Jeffy. We are the people's show. This show, we are the people's champion. That's what we are when it comes to this program.
We love the people.
That's right. That's right. So we take some questions from the gram. Also, I mean, us being East Coast chefs in New York City, we got to talk about the foie gras news. If you haven't heard, foie gras is going to be banned in NYC. Jeffy's going to give us the lowdown on that. Plus, something I thought was pretty interesting, the Hell's Kitchen restaurant opened in Vegas, and they put the menu out. So we got to talk about that a little bit. And, of course, we got a brand new bit tonight. We're going to be talking Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. And I'm sure we'll check in with some of the boys. You know, well, maybe we'll reach out and see if Frank could chime in on the Hell's Kitchen restaurant. That might be kind of fun.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, he's always down to talk if he's around.
There it is. So, yeah, happy to be back talking food with you, Jeffy. Happy to be back talking food with great guests. Kind of happy we're over the scary shit. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Now it's just scary work.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of that for sure, especially with the holidays. Check it out. Jeffy and I are going to take a two-second break here. We're going to play a quick spot, get ourselves a fresh cocktail, and whatever else that we may do in between breaks. But we'll be right back. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, right here on Spreaker Radio, Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. We'll be right back, guys.
Hi, I'm Chef Jeff Perazzi, co-host of the exciting and popular podcast, Plum Love Foods Live. But I'm not here today to talk to you about our amazing podcast that airs live every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No, I'm here today to talk about a problem affecting 1 in 200 males in America. At first, what I'm going to share with you will seem like a small problem, but I assure you that if you're packing less than 3 and have to sit when you pee, you know it can be the root to many of life's problems. That's right, I'm talking about micros. This condition has always been embarrassing for all parties involved. But brothers, keep your heads raised high, because awareness is the key to acceptance, which leads me to announce a new movement. MAMPT! Micros are men too. I will be the first to pledge 10 American dollars to bring awareness to the fact that microgenitalia exists and should not have to hide. Not anymore. I urge you all to make a tiny donation as well. Every little bit matters. Every little bit helps as we inch closer and closer, millimeter by millimeter, to our modest goal. So I say, stand tall with your Napoleon. And remember, Little Richard made a deep and meaningful impact with his listeners. MAMPT. Micros are men too. So stand up, stand proud, and know I stand with you.
This is Yair Lenchner, Celebrity Kosher Advisor, and I approve this message.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like 3 of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday in November. Thursday, November 7th, Jeffy.
11-7.
11-7. 7-11. That must be like some numbers, you know?
Oh, they're numbers. Funky numbers. Yeah, daddy.
That's right. Whoa. That's right. That's right. Listen, man, it's funny when you look at the things that are changing here in the food world, man. And I just think it's crazy that New York City is doing away with foie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Yes, it is crazy that they passed this legislation, and it is crazy that they did this. But it's also like, I don't think they're going to, like, they can't stop selling it totally. I think they're just going to, like, restaurants aren't going to be able to sell it. And it's not until, like, 2022.
Is it that far out?
Yeah. So it's, I'm kind of like, I mean, we have, like, 3 years to overturn it. So it's like,
So it's like that situation. It's not like that shit's just happening. Like, it can be overturned.
Yeah, totally. New York City's overwhelmingly passed legislation on Wednesday. It was actually at the end of October that it actually went in.
I mean, is there any reason, though? Like, I know in the West Coast they did that. You can't really get foie on the West Coast anymore.
It's hard to buy because I think the place went under because they didn't have they weren't selling enough of it to make it worthwhile.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's basically the cruelty thing. You know, they're people believe that it's the most violent practice done for purely luxury.
Well, I mean, they do force feed the animals. I remember watching it in culinary school. Like, they make you watch.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been to the farm, but they don't seem to be in pain, and they don't have to be like grabbed and like chased around and like choked.
No,
and,
but they do shove a pipe down their throat all the way to their stomach and force feed them.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know.
I don't think they actually nail their.
They swallow their food. I mean, it's not like these things eat and like are like ooh.
Yeah, but the other end of it too is like, I mean, they're fucking ducks. Like, we're people. I don't know.
But they're food.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, well, I mean, you know, I mean, listen, there's if you were like if the consumer knew the practices to get the foods that they wanted,
totally.
It would probably freak them out a lot more. But I mean, to get certain things, certain ways, tender animals and all this kind of stuff, there's practices that have been going on for a long time.
Like, even if you watch the stuff that happens in some of the fields, like that mass pick, like Dole that pick, you know, fucking iceberg lettuce out of the fields, like that shit can be pretty gross too.
Yeah.
I mean, those cats are working their asses off and like you think they're walking away to take a piss? Because sometimes the fields could be, you know, miles away from the bathroom. So they just fucking take a piss.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Right? I just don't know how different it really is.
They pee on the lettuce, you think?
I'm sure they do. You don't think so? I mean, how do you think those E. coli things break out? So someone shits on some lettuce.
You think? I think it's because somebody works at a pig farm during the day and then, like, works on another farm on another day and they have, like, pig shit on their boots and then they're like... That's what I always think. Or they got like blood from like a butchery, you know, place. Like they're working like at night at one place, then picking vegetables in the morning, you know, or something.
Is it weird that I feel like what I described is less gross than what you described? I don't know why.
I don't think they're equally as gross. I mean, I'm less freaked out by someone taking a shit in the field than, I mean, it's like, you know, they're gonna wash the lettuce, right? It's like.
They definitely take a leak on that shit. I mean,
you sure they pee on it? Like, cause wouldn't it ruin it?
Yeah, but wouldn't you be angry at work one day? Up.
Pee on the lettuce? Why would you do that? I don't understand. If anything, I would just eat some and be like, haha, free lettuce, bitch.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Either way, if you got all this time to overturn it, I mean, as much as we here in New York City love great food and don't really want to, you know, keep our eyes closed to where that stuff comes from, I think you're right. It'll probably get overturned.
I would like to think so, but
but it's not like a big market. It's not like it's a big market product that everyone's, you know, going crazy for. You know, who we should check with is our good brother Chef Lenny Messina, because he works with a lot of foie.
Yeah, that would actually be very interesting to talk to him, because he actually works closely with the farm. He knows them. I think he's like one of their spokespersons, and so that would be really cool.
Yeah, we should get a comment from him. I'd love to see what he says about that.
Yeah, we should reach out for sure.
I think he works with Hudson Valley Foie, the company.
Exactly, he does.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man, I hope not. I don't know, man. I just feel like at some point, like, what are we going to outlaw everything? Like, what the fuck? It just doesn't make any sense, Jeffy.
Well, of course it doesn't make any sense because we're chefs and we think we can eat everything. But some people get all up in arms about it, man. You know, I don't know, man. It freaks me out. They try to do it all the time, though. It's like we had pita people that used to pick it out in front of my old chef, God rest his soul, Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, he would go out there and yell at them sometimes. Then he would just laugh at them, or he would like offer them, you know, like sandwiches, like salami and stuff. It's like, I don't know, man. People are passionate about all sorts of stuff. I'm not, obviously not so passionate about just eating vegetables or animal cruelty. I mean, I don't want things to suffer. I think it's kind of messed up, but I tend to be one of those people who doesn't want to think about it either. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably the best way to look at it, man. I mean, how else are you going to handle it, right? I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do, and when it comes to, you know, eating certain things, I mean, I guess nowadays we live in a world where people think they can tell other people what to do with that.
Well, that's just begun, my friend.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Hopefully it doesn't go any deeper than that. Like, is it a thing? Listen, do you think, this is a final question I'll ask you on that, do you think that's something that could run deeper? Like, so basically what I'm saying is, like, we take this away, is it a slippery slope? They start taking away all kinds of things, like all of a sudden now we can't have veal, we can't have suckling pig, like that sort of stuff.
Who knows? I mean, the pendulum swings, right? That's what they say. You know, and right now it's swinging in this direction. And like I said, you know, 15 years ago, there were PETA people all around, you know, marching all over Ithaca, just a small city, you know, at restaurants that had foie gras and were like freaking out about it. And then yeah. You didn't hear about it for a while, and people serve it all over the place, and then now it's people are up in arms again about it, you know. I love foie. I use it all the time. I think it's delicious. I have no problems. I use it for all sorts of shit. Like, I like to use it as like a fat substitute and different things. So it's,
or just sear it and serve it because it's fucking delicious.
Oh no, sear and serve it's delicious, but I like adding it to something, like a little, you know, foie fat to like something, and it's like, sure, a je ne sais quoi, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But I do feel like it's one of those things that as we move forward in our life, when it comes to like different things we eat and different foods and things like that. Oh, hi, Skype. Skype's going kind of crazy on me there. But it's as we move forward with that sort of stuff, it just kind of seems like, wow, what the hell is happening with Skype machine right now? As we move forward with it, I think we'll see more and more often that it does become a slippery slope. And if we end up, you know, getting rid of one thing, that super, you know, shortly after that, it's other things that are going to be getting rid of. They're going to not want us to have any kind of, they're not going to want us to have any veal. They're not going to want us to have any, you know, suckling pigs. We're not going to be able to serve chickens unless they're a certain age. It's a slippery slope, Jeffy. Super slippery.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a scary, scary world we're living in when it comes to stuff like that. Like, people, like I said, people get up in arms about you know how things are treated and all that kind of stuff. I think that I think it's important to respect everybody's opinion, but at the same time, you have to respect my opinion, and which is, you know, let's stuff those ducks, let's make some foie.
Absolutely. On the phone right now, Chef Dan's chiming in, man. Dan, I know you have a pretty
low, Dan,
stout emotions about this, man. What do you think, man? I mean, are we getting crazy banning foods?
Well, first off, good evening, fellas.
It's, hey, nice, buddy.
Nice to hear your beautiful voices.
Nice. Good to hear your voice.
Buttery sounds.
I think with foie gras, I mean, it's delicious. I love it. Put it on a burger. Awesome. But I think the thing about that is they can kind of push it aside because not a lot of people use it. It's not as in high demand as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I think now they can kind of sneak in and push it away because of all the vegan stuff and all the other things that's going on. So I think that's why it's kind of become passe almost. Like, people are like, oh, I'll just stay away from that. So the demand's not there, so it's easy for them to vote something in that's going to get rid of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you, Dan, so you work at a really high-end like grocery store situation. You guys have amazing food there. Do you do foie over there?
We've had it a few times. It's hard to sell for us. We try to package it, try to do what you can. Some people want it. We've never had a situation where someone was like, oh my God, this is crazy. We sell like duck legs. But foie gras is,
what about like terrines and stuff like that?
Yeah, we actually sell a lot of terrines. We do sell, I don't think people associate that though.
Yeah, I don't think they realize that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't think they realize.
God bless America.
People who do realize don't care, so it's kind of that one of those things.
So what do you think, Dan? Has this become a slippery slope? Do we start losing all kinds of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. And you're right. Veal's probably next. You know, that because people already, we've tried to have veal. We just started, we're doing veal chops. And it wasn't as receptive as maybe 10 years ago where we would have sold veal chops and they'd have been flying off the shelf.
Oh, but what's that Korean dish called where you beat the little baby bird up in the yolk?
The egg.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I want that.
It's delicious.
I want to have it.
Yeah. It's real good. It's like a staple. It's Filipino, maybe. Not Korean. It might be Filipino, I think.
All right. Well, yeah. Dan, if you got a minute, man, want to hang on the phone and answer a few questions with us here?
Sure.
From the Instagrams. Yeah. Jeffy, you ready to do some Instagram questions?
Instagrammy, Daddy.
Now, I saw you reposted yourself. So did you get any on yours that are worth talking about or no?
Not really. I got some funny guys on mine.
I got some funny guys, too. I got several of those. I'm going to open with a funny guy, actually. Our friend Chaney underscore B says, how long have you been dyeing your hair different colors? And my answer for that question is, dyeing my hair? What are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. What the fuck is wrong with her?
You're born with that shit.
Born this way.
That's how my hair always looks. I don't know. I mean, I think I kind of take offense a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, play some Lady Gaga for her. Let's move on.
Yeah. All right, check this out. Coming in from Max A Million on Instagram. Wants to know thoughts on cooking brisket, gentlemen. Cooking brisket.
Love it.
Cooking a brisket, he says, for 28 days. Is that cool?
No. Huh? That's a terrible idea.
That has to be a mistype or something.
No, I watched a video recently of some guy who did that, and then they almost got sick when they opened the bag. They sous vide it for 20 days or some shit, and it was, like, rotten.
Ew.
And then they smoked it, too, just because they were like, well, let's go all the way through with it. And then they were like,
what?
It smells like someone shit in the smoker. It was like, I'm telling you, it was the most fucked up thing I watched. That's probably my buddy Maximilian. He works with my brother. They do some stuff together.
Shout out to Max.
He's a great guy. My boy Max Lerner. Shout out, Max.
Yeah, I don't want to cook a brisket that smells like shit.
Bro, it was a really tough video to watch. I watched the whole thing and I was just literally like, what the fuck? And they were just like, they just looked like they were going to vomit the whole time while they were trying to describe it. And they're describing it was like Anchorman. They're like, you know, it's a turd covered in hair burning. You know, it's like, they were just like saying like the worst shit about it you've ever heard. No, they were like, no, this is definitely rotten. We don't want to die, so we're not touching it. But and then they sliced it. They're like, it actually looks delicious. Like, it just smells like someone. It smells like your grandfather died and you dug him up and put him on the smoker.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, it was serious.
28 days cooking a brisket is a fucking terrible idea. I think if you're going to cook brisket, for me, you got to brine it. You got to brine that shit to start. Don't play games. Brine it. Give it time. You know, plan that shit out.
At least rub it salt and pepper heavily overnight. Let it sit in salt and pepper. You can dry brine it. It doesn't have to be a wet brine, but yes.
Absolutely. I agree. Remember, Jeffy, when we were in Mexico, we dry brined our pork before we did anything to it, and it came out great.
Where we smoked it over wild sage and rosemary. It was amazing.
It actually came out pretty good, bro.
It did. It was even more amazing that we were like, we need sticks, and they were like, here. Here's this tumbleweed of sage. We were like, awesome. People in Mexico, let's make this happen.
I said, do you have any more than this half a cup you gave me?
I know. They were like, what? That's not enough to smoke. It's not enough to smoke that 25 pounds of pork.
Nope. Believe it or not, it's not enough. It's not enough. Dan, what about you, man? Brisket. Pan. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Salt, pepper. Like 24, 26 hours is good. That's like nice and slow. Just let it go.
You have to do a wet brine.
I like 26 hours.
I've never brined it.
You've never brined it?
No. If I'm gonna do like a braise situation,
yeah,
I wouldn't brine it. But I've never brined it. I've just salt and peppered it. I mean, I might try it now because it sounds like a good idea. But
you can brine it if you're gonna smoke it, especially if you're gonna smoke it because it helps lock in a lot of the moisture. But the dry brine does the same thing. It helps lock in the moisture. You just want to get that salt to penetrate the meat. So
the salt is key. The right
locks
salt
it in. Exactly. It locks it in. It locks the molecules together. It can't. So shit can't leak back out. Kind of.
100%.
At least that's how it was explained to me. Some bro science.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to... I think it makes a big difference when you do that. If you brine it properly, you can get a lot of great flavor out of that. So I think it's definitely important. Our friend Chocolatasm wants to know what our
EJ.
Biggest kitchen peeve is. Dan, you want to go first? What's your biggest kitchen pet peeve?
Soap around my table. Like, if there's like when somebody's trying to clean something and they put their soap container on my table, it drives me crazy. Hate it.
Where do you want it? Like underneath?
On the floor or in by the sink, like not by my table. I'm always afraid someone's going to knock it over. That shit's happened before. And
I hear that. Right. That bothers me a lot. It
bothers the hell out of me.
I hear that.
What about you, Jeffy?
I don't like it if people... I don't like it when people crowd me when I'm cooking. Like, I like to move around like an area. Like, I like to take over a section because I like to do a lot of things at once. And I don't like it when people are like... are up in my shit. You know what I mean? Like, someone's like, oh, let me help clean up your station or let me do this for you. I'm like, nah, get the fuck away from me. I'll do it. You know what I mean? I don't need any helpers. I don't like helpers.
Damn.
I don't like... But you know what I mean? Like, I don't like anyone, like, when I'm in a mode, I don't want anyone in my flow. So I get really, like, territorial.
Damn. All right. I think for me, it's people who don't do the basics. And when I say basics, I mean the basics of, like, kitchen, not so much like kitchen knowledge, but just kitchen etiquette. It's important to me. Like, let me know you're behind me. You know, that's important. That drives me fucking crazy. People don't do that. Because if I have a knife and I turn around, I'm going to impale you. And then I'll yell at you.
In the sink.
Dude, and I'll yell at them and say, it's your fault. You should have told me you were there.
Dude, the knife in the sink, too.
Yeah,
the knife in the sink is like the one. That's a killer.
Somebody puts my knife in a sink, they're getting fired.
Not even that, man. It's like just any knives. They'll just put them in the sink without thinking, and like you reach in there because you're like trying to help out. And next thing you stab yourself with.
Yeah,
like,
I've done that.
You know, you're like, what the hell, man? Yeah, except why is this in there?
Yeah.
And nobody ever owns up to that shit. Oh, that was me, chef. I'm sorry. Mm-mm.
Oh no, nobody does it.
Nobody
does all sorts of shit in the house that I work. It's crazy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, one of the things that also drives me nuts as I got older is people. If someone needs a refire on their food, if someone needs, like, sorry, I rang this in wrong, chef. Look, I know it's annoying, but we don't need to talk about it. Let's just fix it, right? Because either way, you're going to fix it. So you don't need to really bitch and complain about it. Just fucking fix it. Let's move on. That's what we do for a living. We cook food. Somebody made a mistake? Well, we're a team. Let's fix it. We don't need to fucking sit here and talk about it and be like, fucking it says medium well, so I made it medium well. Well, I meant to say medium rare. I rang it in wrong. Sorry.
Own it and move on.
Just say, no problem. Got it. Yep. I got you.
Yeah, I don't like back talk.
I watched it happen today. I was at a restaurant. We ordered our lunch a certain way. It came out wrong. And the woman was like, oh, my God. And I rang this in. I didn't tell them it was supposed to be gluten-free or whatever. And then she went to go tell the chef. And clearly, I could read, because the kitchen was kind of open, I could read her lips, and she was definitely saying something along the lines of, that was my fault, because so the guy wouldn't get mad. Bullshit.
Oh, it was your fault.
Yeah. She wasn't like, sorry, chef, I rang this in wrong. Instead, she was like, oh, he just told me you wanted a gluten-free.
Yeah, well, I get that, because chefs can be intimidating. You don't want to go and tell them that you messed up, especially if they're having a bad day. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I changed my approach a lot. I try to be nicer now. It's hard. It's real hard.
You should be nice. That's a much easier way to do it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. I'm just saying it's still hard to do. You know, because we're from the old school, and like a lot of the mindset, I remember, you know, the scary stories to tell you going to CIA that you could hear the Escoffier instructor yelling from down the hall, and you know that was in the school. You know, you were expected to get shit thrown at you, so 100%. It's hard to change that mindset that you can't do that. You have to talk to people a certain way to get them to do what you want them to do, or what we need to do to get the job done.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You're absolutely right on that. I mean, you just get the job done. We don't need to talk about that shit. Just get it done, you know?
That should be how it is with everything, man. That, nothing bothers me more than someone who, like, sees a problem and then comes to me to tell me about the problem. You know, when it's like, you know, like, they're just like, oh, you know, someone left a bunch of towels in the sink downstairs. I'm just like, and?
Like,
what,
and?
What's going to happen to them? Well, I guess I should put them in the laundry? Is that what I should? I'm like, well, yeah. It's like, why are we having this conversation? Like,
honestly.
What the hell are we? Oh, it's like, sometimes it gets frustrating.
Coming but not everybody's from, a chef. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm sorry. Just...
Coming in here from, how do you say this name? Nikonica. Nikonica on Instagram wants to know, favorite cuts of steak. What is our favorite cuts of steak? For me, it's super easy. I enjoy simple things. Like, I like skirt steak. I think skirt steak's delicious. I think if you're smart, you know, if you go to the butcher, if you ask them for that seventh rib, or they call it also the butcher's rib and the prime rib cut, that's also delicious. But for me, big fan of simple, super simple skirt steak. Season it up, grill it, rare, delicious. Jeffy, what do you got?
It's tough for me. I like a lot of the steak. I have to say it's either going to be a spider steak.
Jesus Christ. Isn't that the asshole steak, the asshole muscle?
Well, it's definitely the inner hip.
Someone told us recently, didn't
pelvic diaphragm. I think I might have told you that it's technically, you know, it's in conjunction with that, with the rump butthole area.
I think Good Brother DJ Barbecue was talking about that.
Oh, maybe he was. Yeah.
Yep,
spider steak. It's a butthole steak. It's delicious.
It's a butthole steak. Butthole, no, it's steak. Not.
We've had it. I've never had that.
You never had a spider steak? They used to call it oyster steak. You can get them. You gotta go to a good butcher and ask them for it. Yeah, it's good.
Let me get the butthole steak.
Excuse me, if you guys aren't busy, let me get
steak.
The anus steak.
I mean, if you're in the back of the kitchen, you might be able to say that, but you can't just say butthole steak. They'll be like,
inner
what?
Part of the hip bone.
Damn.
Pelvic diaphragm.
All right, Dan, what do you got? What's your choice, bro?
I'm just simple. Like, just give me a fucking good quality ribeye. Make that bitch prime. Fucking salt and pepper. Sear the fucking shit out of it. Rare to medium rare, we're good.
I couldn't agree more. It's a delicious steak. And actually, I'm going to tell you what, man. And I'm going to sound like a jackass when I say this. But the other night, I did steak for myself, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law. And like, we couldn't figure out what to get. And some people are picky, so I just bought a nice Angus beef tenderloin. I cleaned that shit up. You know, I seasoned it up nice, and I hit that shit on the grill. Bro, I think that sometimes we as chefs start to hate on the filet mignon. It was delicious.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's my least favorite steak. I couldn't
agree more. I say normally it's my least favorite, but I'll tell you what. I had some blue cheese with it. It was awesome.
The Wagyu tenderloins I get...
Okay, that's different. That's next level.
Truth, and then if you dry age them, it's another level of a steak experience. So tender.
Wow.
I got
and marbled
in my fridge.
Oh my god, it's really, it hurts your heart probably because you eat so much of it. But
well, you brought it to my house over the summer. Remember, I was losing my mind over it.
Yeah, it's tasty, man. It's tasty stuff.
And you just brought some trimmings over, and I was losing my mind over it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know what else, though? I gotta be honest. Well, I really love a good prime rib, like classic.
Okay.
Prime rib. Like, when I see prime rib, I get it.
Steam
almost
ship
every
round.
Single time. No, not a steamship round.
I'm just
like
kidding.
A true
it's
prime
all I think
rib.
About.
Yeah, steamship rounds are like, oof. That's some like old banquet shit right there. Yeah.
It's like, that's like a Volkswagen Bug. That shit is huge.
A I wasn't sure where he was going with that. I was like, well, Volkswagens aren't very big, but maybe if you had a steak that big, I guess that would be big.
Yeah, you got to cut a beef that big. That's huge.
That's pretty
that's
big.
That's a big cut of beef.
That is pretty big, dude. That's right. That's right.
That smoked prime rib at Hoodoo Brown is delicious.
Yo, that shit's next level, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I've not been there yet, but I've always wanted to go since Restaurant Road Trip. Those guys look like so much fun.
They're awesome. No doubt about it. They're super cool guys.
That excites you.
We should make a trip up there, man. I think you really, really would enjoy it. Well, check it out. We got a couple of the questions there on the Instagram. Whatever I didn't get to, I'll throw them out there tomorrow. I'll answer them over the Instagram stories. So keep your eyes out for it there. We got to move on here to the next topic because we got a bunch of topics to cover, gentlemen. I think one of the things that's pretty interesting, the world of the TV chef, like you see shows come and go, shows like Cutthroat Kitchen, you know, all those weird fucking Food Network cooking shows. But then you have some that, I mean, they last. They stick around. They're around the whole time. I mean, they have lasting power, and Hell's Kitchen is one of them, Jeffy, right? You've seen the show.
No. What's Hell's Kitchen again?
Well, see, this is the time I'm trying to type something to somebody to get on the phone, so you have to talk for me.
I was being sarcastic. I know, yeah, no, but I love Hell's Kitchen. In fact, I just read an article today about Gordon Ramsay. He's actually the wealthiest celebrity chef currently. Last time he was audited or whatever, whenever they got his money out, it was like something like 60 something million dollars. It's like 15 restaurants worldwide. You know, he has houses in the UK and in California. He's like got a bunch of kids.
Doing well.
He's like he's a genius marketer, and you know, he knows how to monetize himself. Where a lot of chefs, like, you know, I mean, I kind of look up to him, like his whole branding, the way he branded himself, the way he, like, you know, took the tough guy chef and made it into like a lovable character to where people kind of like want to be scolded by him. You know, it's like
totally.
It's pretty brilliant. You know, it really.
Well, I
is.
Think he's one of the things that's also really brilliant that I like about the guy, and it's kind of stupid, but I mean, dude, he's married. You're never gonna see stories about him cheating on his wife and all that other crazy shit. Like he's just he's good like that.
I don't know him personally, but I haven't heard of anything, so no.
I mean, it's just not that often these days. I mean, you see so many other chefs having issues with that. I mean, you know, Guy Fieri is the same way. But you know, with Gordon, like his wife is very attractive. She does magazines, she does some modeling stuff. Like it's all very, very good.
It's great. Good for him. He did the good chef thing, and he went up a couple levels.
100%. And to me, it says a lot. I think it says a lot.
It's always a sign of a talented person, like when they look like us, but they have a really hot wife. It's like they're either like a great chef, or maybe they're like a good comedian, or you know, maybe they're like a race car driver. You could be like short and like whatever, but as long as you got your shit together and you're doing some like
the personality.
Yeah. Then like you could always like score higher.
Totally, 100% about it.
Well, why short have to be the first thing you got to talk about? Like, what is height got to do?
Well, I'm thinking particularly I had a conversation with a friend, and he was telling me about a Danny DeVito-looking dude that he knows that's dating this, like, hot, like, you know, like, blonde, like, tall chick. And I was – and so I immediately thought of that. That's why I was said short.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I get it. I understand. That's why he wasn't, hating on short people. It was just the story, I guess.
Listen, I don't hate short people. I think short people are awesome. I hate bending over.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You can definitely tell when you've gained too much weight when you drop your keys and you start to wonder, how quickly do I need them? I ask myself that a lot when I drop something. I go, do I really need
that? I just kick them until I don't have to bend. I just kick them to like a stair.
So check it out. The first ever Hell's Kitchen themed restaurant just opened in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace. If you're a fan of the show, you got to go check it out. It's pretty fun. When you walk in, the whole place looks like the Hell's Kitchen. It's pretty cool. But when you walk in the door, there is a holographic Gordon Ramsay that insults you the second you walk in the door. How fun is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot. Come on
that's
in.
Just, that's just amazing.
Get a steak, you piece of garbage.
Well, I thought it would be fun. I mean, listen, the good news is that here on this program, we have lots of buddies and lots of friends, and we have tons. We have many friends who have been on that said show, Hell's Kitchen, but none better than our good brother, the one and only Chef Frank Bellotti. Frankie, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Living the dream, hey, my friend. Hey, you know, what up? Hanging out.
What's up?
Talking a little food, talking a little stuff, just talking about this Hell's Kitchen restaurant. I think it's been open for a minute, but they just like made things public. Like the menu is now public. Like there wasn't really a website for it. It's now a public thing. I thought it'd be fun to talk to you about this because, number one, you were on Hell's Kitchen and did very well for yourself, which was great watching your Adonis, like, you know, fun-loving personality. I was trying to find a good adjective there, Jeff, and you didn't help me.
Tall, lanky, young Sinatra.
Non-ankle broken.
No, yeah. Break your ankles.
That's right. But, well, it's interesting, though, because let me tell you, man. Because but Frankie, you know, it talks about here, the second you walk in the door to this place, there's a holographic Gordon just fucking yelling at you. And I think you might have even told me that, listen, now, a lot of that's TV when it comes to Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's really a really, really, like, nice guy. He really is. I mean, you see him on all the shows and how nice he is. I mean, you're shooting for his restaurant and you got TV involved and everything else, and a lot of heat in the kitchen. We all get yelled at. But the cool part about that picture of him, it's like a big, like a hologram, like you said, is it's got to be like motion censored to the point where he like looks at you and talks to you. So it's
you've been
like,
there, Frank?
It's pretty wild. No, I've been there. Yes, I've been there twice.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my chef, good friend, Michelle, Chef Michelle. She won season. I think it was 14. No, yeah, maybe 14. No,
good,
she won.
Good 15. Friend of yours, huh?
Yeah. I don't even know what
you ever seen
was
a grown man naked.
Maybe your name's not even Michelle.
Yeah, well, Sue, Frank. Michelle, you know, she's a broad that I know.
Yeah.
Maybe your name's not even Michelle.
Okay, terrific.
Well, I wanted to talk about what's interesting here. Is that the menu got put out. And I want to see if the menu is actually... I'm going to say a couple of items, and if it's actually something you guys made in Hell's Kitchen, Frank. Is that cool?
If Steak Bilotti is on the menu, I'll freak out.
Steak Bilotti. Well, I'm looking here.
newest edition.
So it looks like there is
hold on. Maybe it was the Flank Bilotti.
The Flank
Bilotti. Okay, terrific.
Would you speak to Dave? No.
All right, so check it out, Frankie. So what do we have on this menu? We have a roasted rack of lamb. That seems like a very Gordon Ramsay dish.
Yes, I think the only thing that they don't do is the pistachio oregano on top.
Okay. Looks like this
is a
chickpea panisse olive pepper relish Romanesco sauce and lamb jus. Sounds like it has two sauces on
the
plate.
Yeah, I don't remember the pilaf being on there, but
that's what it says. What is the pilaf? What is that? The chickpea? Whatever. I'm not even going to ask. Also, he's got a braised rib on there with Yukon potato cake, Bloomsdale spinach, crispy fried onion rings, and beef jus.
It was the braised what?
Short rib.
Nope. That wasn't on my season, at least.
Okay. What about a Jidori chicken scallopini with roasted peewee potatoes, artichokes, kale, and truffle chicken jus?
Not while I was on the show.
Wow. All right. And then finally on here, too, it's got a crispy skin salmon with beluga lentils, shea fennel salad, and a citrus herb beurre blanc.
I believe that was.
All right.
A very similar dish.
Yeah, I think a lot of the dishes.
I mean, the Wellington was definitely on there.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the menu now. I don't actually.
Where are you looking at?
Yeah.
Are you looking at Gordon Ramsay the steak?
No, this
in Kansas
is an article
City that they just opened.
No, this is an article from Pop Sugar that came out. It's the Hell's Kitchen restaurant that the menu just went public on. Because I guess they hadn't been releasing anything about it. There's Wagyu meatballs, pan-seared scallops with celery root, braised bacon lardons, pickled Granny Smith apples. Okay, that's kind of cool.
Oh, they went
to season. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
And just it's definitely going to be
good. It's good food, right?
Oh, definitely good food.
Well, if you're interested, if the group of us here want to go, we can do the prefix menu of five courses for $270 per person with wine, which would start us with oyster and caviar, and then our second course would be a golden beet salad, followed by a lobster risotto. Then, of course, we get the beef Wellington Rossini with a seared foie gras, potato puree, glazed root vegetables, and wine demi. And then we can all have a sticky...
Well, you're not getting that in New York.
Yeah,
can
New
I get
York.
It without the foie gras?
Yeah, can I get a non-foie gras here?
You can get it with the plant-based foie gras.
2022, we have to get rid of the foie gras. Relax.
And then we can finish it with a sticky toffee pudding. This menu sounds delicious, Jeffy.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's
a beast.
Fantastic.
I mean, I didn't realize what a beast he was until I read that article. I mean, more of a fan. I was already a fan, but then after I read that, I was like, man, I look up to this guy. What a killer.
Yeah.
So I have a question about this.
Okay.
I'm sorry about it. I had a question about this restaurant, though. So now on the show, they just shut the restaurant down like halfway because they couldn't get the stuff done. Like, do they invite guests in and then give them the real experience? Be like, oh, sorry, you're not going to get anything because we shut the kitchen down. Did they do that? You know, full Hell's Kitchen experience?
Yeah. So, Frank, if you don't mind, I'd like to answer that, and then you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Go for it.
So those people that come in are from a casting agency. They are extras. They realize they're probably getting paid $50 for their time and a meal if they get it, and that's kind of the fun. They realize that they're probably not going to get fed. No one in there is a paying customer. Am I wrong, Frankie?
I think that you might be, because I know at one point, at one point they were talking about how to be a guest in the restaurant. And I think you have to sign something saying that you're not going to be disappointed if you're not going to accept. But then again, I don't know what really happened, because, I mean, when you get kicked out of the kitchen, you're gone, you know, and you don't really see what's going on.
Well, and you were drinking giant glasses of wine, too, so.
Out of a vase, yeah.
Out of a vase.
Out of a vase.
They said that I could only have one drink, two drinks. I was like, all right, pour a bottle of wine into a vase. That's one.
Well, there's a will, there's a way, Frank. You always prove that, huh?
Hey.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, Frank,
by
really
the
quick,
way,
man.
I got to blame you.
Yeah.
God.
Hey, really quick, man, you went out to Washington State to do a fun event, what was it, 2 weeks ago, man? How was that?
Well, I finally can pronounce it. It's Alanay. It's not Alani.
Oh, Alanay, okay.
Yeah. You try to figure that out. But absolutely a great event. It really was.
Awesome, man. Awesome. You had a lot of fun down there.
Great friends out there, new friends. Spoke about you a lot.
He's out there representing Plum Love Foods Live, which was dope.
Plum Love Foods Live.
That's right. Well, dude, you did a great
job.
At
one point, I was saying Plum Love Food.
Oh, you fucking weird. Just say the goddamn name of the show. Nobody can say it right but me. All you guys get it wrong.
I say it right all the time.
Jeffy, a minute ago before we went live, you added like 6 letters to it.
That was different. I was singing to you, and I got a little stumbled up. I get that way when we sing to each other.
I'm just saying. Well, Frankie, dude, always a pleasure talking to you, brother. Look forward to seeing you on down
brother
the road.
Brother Malati.
Absolutely.
All right, there he goes. Frankie.
All right, Frank.
I totally just cut him off there. Frankie's the man. We love Frank very much. It's just fun to get that input, you know what I'm saying, from someone who's on the show, and you read the menu. Like, is that items that were there? It sounds like there's a couple.
Whoa.
That were there, Jeffy.
There were some freaking great items there. I thought the whole menu sounded awesome, actually. I mean, I couldn't pick out exactly one thing that you said, because
I eat all of it.
Exactly. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, that sounds really good.
I'd eat all
I can
of
get
it.
Down on that. Yeah. Well, I try anything, too, because it's just, you know, it would be exciting to see what this guy's all about.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I've never been to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. I think I want to go.
Yeah, how many does he have?
He's got a bunch, man.
15 worldwide, I think, is what I read.
That's a good number, right?
That's pretty solid.
But to
if
have
you
them all
to
over the place?
Restaurant, would you go to?
If I had a restaurant, what would I do?
No, if you can go to any restaurant, what would you go to?
Who's
right
running the
now,
show here? You or me, Dan?
I'm sorry. I just was thinking.
What the fuck?
Because I'm like, well, I want to go to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, but then I'm like, well, there's other restaurants that I'd want to go to. So I just, it kind of sparked my thought.
Well, the good news
there's
is
so
you can go to all of them. You can go to all of them.
Because you think a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, but then I started thinking about the list of restaurants I want to go to and where I'd put it on my list. And then I have, you know, I have a huge list, and I'd assume that you guys have an equally as large list of restaurants you'd like to frequent.
Just one.
Just one restaurant?
Just one on my list. Yep. Just one. And I'm not sharing.
Oh, okay.
One restaurant you're not sharing? It was not, like your first child's name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. I have to really think about it, man. There's several I'd love to go to, but if I had to rank them, it would take me some time.
Are we talking worldwide or just like in the tri-state area? Because I mean, come on, it's like
worldwide.
Oh,
worldwide,
geez.
Any
worldwide?
Yeah, man. It would take some time. This is a whole other topic. It's a whole other topic.
I'm sorry. It's your show. I apologize.
Hey, you fucking,
wait,
I mean,
now you're all the system, yo.
Dan's voice is. He's all warmed up, all conversation warmed up. Now he's throwing topics out there. I love
Sorry.
It. It's fantastic. Yeah. So
he's on fire.
He is on fire. He's doing an amazing job. You're the best what the around. Oh, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best. Wow, who saw this coming? Wow.
My sixth favorite person in the world.
Wow, Dave. Good evening.
Good evening. What's going on, guys?
They just hear Dan go, what the fuck?
What's happening right now?
Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
You spent a little time with Frank out there in Washington. How was that?
It was fun. Definitely a lot of fun. In my downtime, I spent it in dispensaries, so it was great.
Fantastic, Dave. Dave, we got a new bit on the show tonight, and we're going to play it. I'm hoping you're going to hang out and play it with us. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun new bit. Jeffy, I think Dave should be the one to play with us. What do you think?
I always want to play with Dave.
All right. Dan, just sit back and watch the fireworks here, okay?
Ooh, okay.
Let's play this game. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Acidulate, a grotten, Plum Lafoon's live! It's time for Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. It's Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. Right here on Plum Love Foods Live.
It's time for Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. Dave, if you win, you win $75,000.
I don't... All right.
Canadian.
What's up?
It's Canadian money.
75,000 baht.
75,000 rupees.
Rupees?
Nope.
Rupees.
Rupees.
Oh, that's not worth shit.
I'm just, listen, let's not hate on people.
It's worth a lot in India.
Yeah, it is.
Piece of shit.
You fucking hater.
It's not worth shit. What the fuck ever. All right, how's this game going to work? I have no culinary vocabulary, I don't think.
Well, so Dave, we're going to give you some culinary terminology here on Chef Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. It's a great game. You're going to hear some culinary vocabulary words. You're going to tell us what they mean. And then I'm going to tell you what they actually mean. And then, if you win, you win 75,000 rupees. Are you ready to play?
Hold on. What's the game, though?
I got it. I'm just going to say, I got you, Jeffy. It's not really a game.
Oh. I thought there was like a game to it.
Well, we could do two different versions of the game. So here's the game. Are you ready, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the word.
You said he won $75,000. So
$75,000.
Rupees.
Yeah, I don't have that much money. I'm going to tell you the word, Dave. You tell me what it means. Or I'll give you the definition, and you give me the word. Are you ready, Chef?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I like my weird video game music I have on. You guys like that?
Pretty good.
All right, here we go. Dave, your first word is barding.
No idea.
Sorry. That's not the actual answer.
Wrong answer, Dave. Yeah, wrong.
There's going to be a lot of these.
Jeffy, tell them what that means.
Barding's a verb. It means to cover meat with a layer of fat, such as bacon, before cooking, effectively maintaining the moisture of the meat while it cooks to avoid overcooking. Barding.
So
I barded the meatloaf with a layer of bacon.
Yeah, he did. He barded it.
Okay.
I wish I had barded my... Well, I was going to make a joke about having children.
Nice bacon weave barding on that.
Nice. I like that. All right. The next word for you, Dave, I'm going to give you the definition, and you're going to tell us what the word is. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. The next word is a pure, transparent form of gelatin obtained from the bladders of certain fish used in jellies and as a clarifying agent, also used in beer brewing.
The fuck?
Form of gelatin pulled out of certain fish bladders.
Is it real?
Time's up. Ooh, time is... Dave, Jeffy, did you hear the time? The buzzer went off. Did you hear it? Sorry.
That was the wrong answer, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Cool. Sorry. Dave, culinary terminology, what does it mean? Okay. Dave, that's called Isinglass. That is a pure, transparent form of gelatin obtained from the bladders of certain fish, used in jellies and as a clarifying agent. Yes, sir.
Isinglass. It's spelled... is in glass.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So this is stuff I should know then, probably, huh?
Absolutely.
Getting an education here on Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's right. You can learn something new. Dave, our final word for you. Are you ready for your final word? And this one, if you don't get this correct, it's going to cost you a family member. That's what happens with this. You may lose a family member here.
Which one?
You get to pick.
Okay, cool.
Dave, the word is nappe. Nappe. N-A-P-P-E. Nappe.
Nappe.
I've actually used this word with you when we worked at Mohegan Sun together.
I know. I don't know if I was actually...
sober?
Paying attention. Yeah. I don't think it was.
Sorry. Jeff, the timer went off, right?
Yeah, I heard it just now. It just went off.
Sorry.
Sorry, Dave.
Well, I answered that one at the buzzer, so
Dave,
whatever.
That is the ability of a liquid to coat the back of a spoon.
Hold on.
Yes?
Consistency of a sauce, pretty much. Like, this, when, you know, those... Fuck, I haven't picked. the finger down the back of the spoon for Alfredo.
Sorry.
Hold on a second. Plum, that was at the buzzer. Let's check with the judges.
Okay, judges.
Plum, does that count?
No.
Okay, the judges say it doesn't count. I'm sorry, Dave. Wrong answer.
That's right, Dave. That's the ability of a liquid to coat the back of a spoon or the act of coating a food such as a leg of lamb with a glaze. That's right. That's what that is. There you have it. Nappe. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nappe. Chin.
That's your culinary vocabulary for the week.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Acidulate. A gratin. Plum of Foods Live. It's time for Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. It's Plum's Culinary Vocabulary. Right here on Plum Love Foods Live.
It might be the worst stinger ever invented for a radio program.
It makes me feel really good inside, though.
I think it makes ever. Dan very angry.
Yeah. It's just so loud.
It sounds like a drunk chipmunk.
Oh, that's what it was.
Doing karaoke.
I was squeezing the chipmunk by his neck because I couldn't have foie.
So mad.
Chipmunk foie?
Sounds delicious. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we come here to a close, as we get ready to end out this program here on Plum Love Foods Live, this fun-filled, action-packed program, it wouldn't be a regular show or a coming back to food show. And listen, it was fun because we went from scary, scary shit back to food. So we kind of eased back into it a little bit. The interviews will be back next week, but we got one more good bit for you guys. And you know what it is. It's time to get caught up on some news.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
There it is. Jeffy, what kind of news you got?
How's it going? Well, this week there was a huge chicken recall. That's right. There was over 2 million pounds of chicken were recalled for a possible metal contamination. Ooh. It was a class 1 recall. Ooh. Which means that this was definitely a health hazard situation with the reasonable probability that the product would cause serious adverse health consequences or death.
Wow, from chicken.
From chicken, which is pretty scary. That's a lot of chicken. Think about that.
Listen, I haven't seen that much cocks in shit, I don't know, elementary school?
Since
Ron Jeremy.
Since Mexico.
Wow. So what are they doing? Who's being affected by it?
All right, so the products were shipped to stores in Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Georgia, Minnesota, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So far, there was no injuries or illnesses have been reported as a result of ingesting these products, but if you are concerned, the USDA recommends that you visit a healthcare professional.
If you don't feel good, go to the doctor. Thanks, FDA.
Well, sometimes you have to paint it out for people. As they say, you can lead people to the water, but you can't force them to drink.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go. That's news with Jeffy.
Republicans.
Well, you know what? That's
matters to you. It's so the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
Dan, what were you saying? Sorry, Dan. What were you saying?
They're so worried about the fucking foie gras. They really should be worried about fucking chicken. Like, just the way they treat them chickens, Purdue-ing them. Like, that's the real problem. They're worried about foie gras and how them seven ducks live instead of the millions of chickens that are treated like ass.
Hold on.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't find anywhere in the article where it said how there is a metal contamination in 2 million pounds of chicken. Seems like, I mean, was it like a big scatter bomb? Or, I mean,
what? Ground.
You think it was in the food?
Maybe it was ground chicken. And they ground it, pre-ground it, and then sent it all out.
These chickens, gentlemen, as they sat when no humans were around, they were full on listening to Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. That's what happened.
Metal chickens.
All
right. Well, for my next story.
I was
going to
give a real answer, but I like that one a lot. That one a lot more.
Thanks, Dave. All right, Jeffy, what do you got?
All right. So for our next story, something that amazed me. Have you guys ever heard of a beer spa?
Ooh. No, what's
that? Is it like baths and you just like chill in beer? Or?
Yeah, so you drink and chill in beer. So people go to the spa to unwind and get a tall glass of beer also does the trick. In Europe, people have been doing this for a while. They get the best of both worlds. There's a popular thing called beer spas where people come in and they bathe in their favorite beer. And apparently there's all sorts of skin benefits, B vitamins, all this other kind of stuff. So there's three in America now, Chicago, Denver, and there's one somewhere else. Anyway, it really blew my mind.
Wow.
Beer spa. Would you guys try that? What do you think?
I would love to go to a beer spa. Like, I wonder if it's, you know, like a, you really go for a day and get a rub down, or is it literally you go and like it's a steam room and they make the steam out of beer? Like it's everything beer based.
I think it leaves you smelling a little sour.
I like it. I dig it.
I want to know if there's a hard seltzer option.
Oh, for God fucks. Damn it! Can I hang up on Dan quick enough? Jesus.
Hard seltzer option.
Yeah.
It's no, actually, it for it says for men with micros, there's kombucha, and if you're not a beer drinker, there's also wine. So there you go, wine and kombucha, which is like a hard seltzer if it went to a Grateful Dead show.
Nice.
I hate everything about that whole story so far.
I mean, I kind of dig the kombucha part, but
fuck, Dave.
You would soak in kombucha, wouldn't you, Dave?
So I fucking totally would.
Here's one thing we decided that Dan and I decided a long time ago at Grafferberger, we're not ever going to serve that shit.
I'm not going.
Well, we have great Grafferbergers, but if you don't want to, we don't have kombucha. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, well, you should have both. All right.
Have what?
You got Kim Kiss.
That's some pretty crazy shit, though, no?
That's insane, man. It sounds fun. We should make a trip, like a Brokeback Mountain trip, but we go to the.
We should go to the one in Denver.
Let's do that.
Hell yeah.
I want to go to the Rocky Mountains.
Hell yeah.
There you go. Let's see if, Jeffy, you got one more story for us.
Only one?
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
Jeffy, I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning.
That's true. All right, all right. Well, I have a few stories left, but I'm gonna do one. I think I'm gonna talk about what's gonna spark a little bit of a conversation. But basically, what do you guys think? There was recently a story where Kanye West went down to Louisiana and did a concert, and he did something called. There was a company that they worked with that did something called Brunchella. And it was $55 a plate, and people were taking pictures of the food, and it was a styrofoam plate with two pancakes, two slices of bacon, and a sausage patty.
That was it?
And all, yeah, and cold grits for $55. And people were kind of like, what the hell? And then everyone kind of like found out who the company actually was who did the catering, and they reached out to them. And their rebuttal, to me, kind of was like... Like, I felt for them because they were kind of like, well, listen, you know, like, you know, Kanye came to us and was like, hey, we'd like to work with you. And we were kind of like, oh, well, hell yeah, we'll make it happen.
Sure.
But, you know, then the reality of, like, they don't do 2,000 people.
What was their rebuttal? Was it just that, hey, Kanye asked?
Hold on a second.
Or were they like, listen, this guy asked.
Oh, they bit off more than they could chew.
Like much of the city, we were excited about the opportunity to be part of Kanye West Sunday service in Brunchella. We were contacted only 28 hours prior to the event. And after the $55 price had been set by the organizers, not by our catering firm, we agreed to assist the local organizers with providing a breakfast buffet for over 2,000 guests.
Oh my God.
While we typically did not fulfill large, full-scale orders with less than a month's notice, we chose to assist the organizers, with whom we believed to be affiliated with Kanye's team, at an incredibly reduced weight. Our company added additional staff, tables, and linens at little to no cost. They said... But not refrain by making dismissive statements about our guest experiences, as first reported in the Daily Mail, but no one from our catering company had made any comments concerning the event until now. We regret that our food ordered by the organizers was not what the guests had envisioned, and we did not remain hot at all times, as the warming dishes were subsequentable, or I can't say that word because I'm an idiot.
What?
In the 35 degree. And our goal was to serve more than 2,000 VIP guests as quickly as possible. So it's like kind of like a like cop out answer.
It seems
but my
like
whole
a
thing
cop-out.
Is like you say no, right? Like you have to say no when you don't know how to do it, because like this is the kind of shit that ends up happening.
Well, they
right?
saw
like,
Kanye West, and so they saw a chance to jump on something that they thought they could.
Well, it's like. Either you go and you go to like American General Finance or whomever the fuck you can pull a loan out of the air from and you get some money and you make it like a blowout event so everyone has an amazing experience and you get right. your name out there. That's the kind of thing you do it for, right? Or you say no. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, how would you handle something like that?
Well, I mean, 2,000 people is no joke. That's a lot of people. If you don't have the capability, I think, first of all, if you're doing catering work, you have to know what your capabilities are. You have to know, like, what do I logistically and realistically think the maximum number of people we can do is? And listen, 2,000 people is fucking crazy. And to do that kind of food and keep that kind of food warm and chafers and buff, it's a fucking nightmare, dude. I would say no, or I would try to push it towards something a little bit easier to do that I can keep hot easily, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, fuck, throw 20 action stations out there.
Well, so I'm looking it up now, and apparently it was some kind of church thing.
Yeah, yeah. Kanye just put out a Jesus album, and he's been holding revival services.
And they said only one. There was only a few plates. They said most people were satisfied with what they got, but a couple people, I guess, at the end must have got some shit food because they couldn't keep up. So they, you know, must have tried to figure something out, and it didn't go as according to plan. But yeah, if you can't, 2,000 people is a lot of people, and if you can't do it, you just got
to
say no, I can't do it.
Yeah, but
listen, you don't know
what
kind of stipulations they were given, like, halfway through. Were they like, okay, you know, this is what's going to happen? You're like, okay, cool. And then halfway through, like, okay, now we're doing this. And you're like, wait a minute, we're not ready for that. But at that point, you've already put yourself into it, and you don't know which way to go.
Yo, $55 a head for 2,000 people guaranteed to put out some fucking pancakes and sausage? I mean, they're making money on that. I don't care how they look at it.
Well, the picture is like a microwavable sausage, bacon, and like a shitty pancake. There's not even syrup on this plate.
What?
Yeah.
And Jeff, you said it was $55 a head?
Yeah.
That's 110 grand.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Dave was doing the same thing I was doing. That's $110,000 on one party. Are you fucking... Dave, would you sign up for that with your restaurant?
I'd make it work.
For brunch?
Yeah.
Listen, I think I got this, bro.
110 grand, you can hire the staff you need for that.
So what do you think? At the end, they make 40 grand, 50 grand? What do you think they make off that?
Listen, probably 40, man, 50 grand, but that's a huge fucking... That's solid.
It is.
Totally. That's a lot of money, bro.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd make it work.
I don't know how much, you know, was given to the catering company out of that $55, but...
Oh, really?
I mean,
okay, so you don't think that all was
I don't know.
Money?
I mean, who knows? I mean, it says that was what the ticket price was set at. That's not what it was set by them. So I don't know if they got $55 or it was, like, set by them and they got,
right,
like, $45. Who knows?
But so,
all I know is it seems like a lot of money, and it seems like... I know 2,000 people is a lot, but if it's a brunch buffet, it's like, can't you just call Cisco and just be like, hey, man, I got 60 grand. You bring the reefer truck, and I just need brunch set up. Give me the potatoes pre-cut. Give me, you know,
right.
Give me it all. Give me all ready to go. And I also need some mixing bowls and rubber spatulas and some box cutters. Send it all. And I'm pretty sure I'd rock that brunch. People would be like, oh, shit, what happened here? This is,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's
even
just like Friendly's.
Go ahead, Dave.
Even if it was 35 a person, it's still 70 grand. Like, if that's how much the catering company got per person.
Well, no, it's 55, but it's part of the event. $55 to get into the event.
Yeah, that's what Dave was saying. So the caterer got 35 out of it.
Yeah, but the event was a Kanye West event. You don't know. First of all, he got to get paid. And he, you know, he ain't doing it for free. Regardless,
he loves Jesus, right?
Yeah, he does. So do I, though.
He's doing it for Washington and Benjamin.
Ooh, he sings about a lot of Jesus, though.
Damn. Well, that's crazy, man. I mean, 2,000 people for a brunch is hard to do. I mean, brunch food itself to keep hot is hard to do, especially when you're doing that kind of stuff—pancakes and that sort of shit. But if you're gonna sign up to do it, you better do it right. That's all that matters. You can't give people cold pancakes.
Ever.
It just seems like a terrible idea.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, it's time to put a bow on this episode, man. I got to get my ass up early as shit to get on an airplane to go to Texas.
Yeah, while you're sleeping tonight, just think of this. There's a real thing out there called dessert hummus.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Jesus
Who said
Christ.
That?
Who do you think said that?
What? Dave?
Yeah.
You ate dessert hummus?
Yeah, man, the chocolate hummus. Put that shit on pretzels and strawberries.
I've never had this. All right, now I'm intrigued. If Dave likes it, because his casserole is actually banging.
He does make a casserole.
Casserole. I mean, not a 900-degree oven. We've realized that he's dyslexic. It was 600 degrees, probably.
Yeah, there was a little dyslexia or something that kicked in. I was like,
I told him that's how you make. We were like, that's how you make briquettes.
Listen, if you're looking to make charcoal, yeah, you can do it in that oven.
I tell you, yeah, it's a carbolization or something like that. They call that charcoal process. Casserole.
If you're looking to get rid of a body, that's how you do it. 900 degrees.
It's 1200 degrees for
I
a body.
I cook all this Detroit pizza's cooked already, carbolized Detroit pizza.
There you go. All right, listen. Jeffy's got it figured out. He's going to talk to Dave about this dessert fucking hummus. Next week, we got a great guest on the program next week, Jeffy. Who do we got?
We have Chris Scott.
Yeah, from Top Chef.
Chef from Top Chef in Connecticut, New York City. Does a lot of really awesome stuff in the culinary world. Super positive guy. Yeah. Really excited to talk to him.
Nice hookup from our good brother Chef Dan there on that.
Yeah, yeah. Dan's been to his restaurant, right, Dan?
Yeah. Yep, yep. He's a good dude.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
That was a resounding.
You didn't sound excited, huh?
I know. I'm like, right, Dan? And you're like, yep.
Well, there's a story behind that, and maybe you'll find out.
Oh.
Damn.
Food.
Shit. All right. Well, look. You heard
it
here first, folks.
Schmuck bait going on here. What's going on? You're drawing me in.
That's it. All right, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you guys checking out the program tonight. Dan, thank you for joining us. Of course, as always, big shout out to Frank Bilotti for chiming in here for a little bit with us. And, of course, shout out to our good brother, Chef Dave, for jumping on the program tonight, man. A lot of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Give the time it deserves. I'll see you guys next week. Jeffy, peace.
I'm the power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.